Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
And we should let you know that this segment is being brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. You have enough time, enough things to worry about every day. Insurance shouldn't be one of them. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. Glad that you were hanging out. I'm looking forward to the show. We got a lot of great guests coming up for you and a little Cubs talk right dang now. 4-hour show tonight. A lot of baseball chatter will be on the show, but it's weird because it kind of feels like an NHL or an NBA schedule with all of the off days, and that's not intended. It's unintended. It's the weather. The 25th rainout or snowout happened, which matches a record going back to 2007. And for the Cubs, it seems like every other day they're getting rained out. A guy who's affected by that is someone that you hear on Cubs broadcast when they do play. Zach Zabeman, he does the pre- and post-game shows for Cubs baseball here on The Score, does a great job in the fifth inning calling play-by-play as well, and now joins me here on The Score. Zach, how are you holding up with not like catching a rhythm of doing games?
Well, it doesn't affect me nearly as much as I think it affects the actual Cubs baseball club. And I think part of the reason that you're talking about a team that's now 7-8 on the season is the fact that they haven't been able to get into a routine. And it really started from the get-go. You know, they go to Miami to start the regular season, and that was a unique experience because it's so close to Parkland, and you had Anthony Rizzo going back to his hometown and honoring victims and survivors of the massacre that took place on Valentine's Day. And it's tough to kind of flip the switch and then all of a sudden get into baseball mode when that's going on. And then from that point forward, you know, they go to Cincinnati, get a rain out. They finally got to click a little bit in Milwaukee, but then Rizzo ends up going on the disabled list. They come home, and weather has been the story as much as the inconsistency from the Cubs over the past week plus. And I think it's definitely affected the team because baseball is all about the routine. You know, that's what I've learned right from the get-go. It's about the routine. And these players have not been able to settle in and get into a regular routine. And you heard Jed Hoyer talk about it the other day, that does play a role in what's transpired here. But you have to fight through it, and you have to find a way to be successful despite the fact that you have to deal with these scheduling snafus.
What are some of the real effects that we're seeing on players because of the weather, number one, and the stop and start, number two?
I think one of the big issues is, let's start with the pitching. They've not been able to go deep in games of late. And I'll give you a perfect example. Jose Quintana, you know him very well. Over the weekend, has the start and can't really get a hold of the baseball, can't get a feel for it, because not only are you dealing with the cold weather, but you're also dealing with wet weather at the same time that it's cold. And you can't keep your fingers warm. I was talking with Carl Edwards Jr. about this. You know, it's not like football where, you know, you're used to practicing in these conditions, you're used to playing in these kinds of conditions, and it's not a big deal because you're used to it. Well, in baseball, feel is everything. The ability to get a good grip on the baseball is a huge thing. The ability to get a good grip on the bat, you know, and be able to be loose with your hands and not have that feeling where if you get jammed, all of a sudden everything stings. It's a big deal. And Edwards was telling me that the only thing you can really do as a pitcher is have one of those little heat packs in your back pocket, kind of like an NFL quarterback has with the fanny pack. But you can only use that for so long to keep yourself warm. If it's a longer inning, eventually your hand's just going to get cold. The ball's going to continue to get slick, and it makes it very difficult to be a pinpoint control guy in those situations. So that's number one. And number two, I think part of the problem is you have a home run hitting team, and you know the way Wrigley Field plays during this time of the year. When it's this cold, the wind whips in, usually from around right field in. And while I believe the video board in left field has kind of changed the wind pattern a little bit, and maybe it's a little bit easier to hit balls out of the yard from left field, it still dramatically reduces your chances of hitting the ball out of the yard. And the Cubs are not a small ball team. So you start to factor those things in together. And I think, again, that creates part of the problem that the Cubs have had this season and one of the reasons they're under 500.
Yeah, I was happy to see. I'm a big Javi Baez guy. I've gone on record and said that. His home run, obviously impressive. The extra base, and you look at what he's got, two singles on the year. The rest are extra base hits. The fact that he was trying to go opposite way in his first two at-bats last night and then has that blast to left field, you know, cutting through the wind and hitting the board itself. I always, you can see what his ceiling could be. I always wonder, how can they get him to be that more consistently?
I just think Joe Maddon said it perfectly. You know, when the student is willing, then the teacher can teach. And I think he's willing now. I think he's willing to listen to what Chili Davis is working on in terms of making sure that you give yourself an opportunity in each at-bat. I mean, there's still going to be times where he's going to be Javi Baez, and he's going to take that swing where he drills himself into the dirt. But I think the fact that his approach has changed is a great thing. Man, he is the one guy that's been immune to whatever has happened to the Cubs throughout the course of this homestand. I believe he's got 5 homers and 12 ribbies over the course of this homestand, 7 runs scored. It's been unbelievable. And the biggest thing is, at the beginning of the homestand, I remember he tweeted out a picture that he proposed, and she said yes. So I can't imagine, other than winning a World Series, this has to be one of the greatest grooves that he's had on and off the field throughout his professional baseball career.
Why do you think the other guys, or most of the other guys, are struggling? Because Chris Bryant's not struggling. Ben Zobrist is hitting the ball when he's out there. Why do you think the rest of the guys are struggling at the plate?
I think the weather has a lot to do with it. I would never minimize the impact that Anthony Rizzo being in the heart of that order has on the way other guys get pitched to. So that's part of it. But you're right. I mean, Wilson Contreras has yet to hit a home run. Same thing with Addison Russell. You know, that's why I'm not in panic mode in regards to this team, because you know these guys are such good players that eventually it's going to click and they'll be who they are. But it just looks, I think the word Jed Hoyer used, it looks sloppy. It looks choppy right now because you haven't been able to settle into a routine. You haven't been able to use the lineup that you expected to use at the beginning of the season. And, you know, they have faced a couple of really good offensive teams over the homestand. You know, Pittsburgh was number one in the National League in runs scored. I think the Braves were number two. I think St. Louis, at least heading into the game yesterday, the Cardinals were number two in the National League in home runs. So you're talking about teams that have been able to score a lot of runs in the early going, which has hurt the Cubs pitching staff, and the Cubs slumping together as a team. Their situational hitting has been horrendous so far this season. The thing that I look at is, and this is to me the key statistic going forward, and when this gets fixed, I think the Cubs, from an offensive standpoint, will get fixed. No team has left more men on base per game this season than the Cubs at 8.6. A year ago, it was 6.9. So that gives you an idea of the dramatic increase there. And this year, the Cubs are leaving 4.5 runners in scoring position every game, second most in baseball. Last year, it was 3.5. When those numbers improve, I think the Cubs will get back to being the kind of team you expected when the season started.
Talking with Zach Zabin, who does pre and post here on The Score for Cubs baseball. You can check him out here on The Score and Cubs Radio Network as well. And he also does the fifth inning, so make sure that, you know, when you're listening, know that Zach's going to be in there giving you an inning's worth of play-by-play, and he's done a fantastic job so far. I've asked every baseball guest that I've had on so far, whether it was leading up to the season or once the season began, this question. How much do the Cubs care about the leadoff position? Does it matter to them in the least? Should they be worried about not having a prototypical leadoff hitter?
They weren't worried about it a year ago. I think ideally you'd love to have that prototypical leadoff hitter. And there was a guy that I got to see yesterday who played for the Cubs and was quite successful doing it in Dexter Fowler. But very few teams have a prototypical leadoff hitter. The problem gets exacerbated when you don't have a home run hitting team hitting home runs. And the thing that I look at, and I was talking with Ryan Sandberg about this in the postgame show yesterday, and he pointed out that, yeah, you're going to slump, and they're going to be the rate of strikeouts is going to be extremely high, usually with teams that hit the ball out of the yard. The problem is you don't want to rely on that all the time. And what you want to do is take a smart approach every time that you're at the plate in situations where you can bring runners home. And that's where they've kind of all struggled as a team, while the opponents that they faced, at least on this homestand, in regards to Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and St. Louis, have taken advantage of those opportunities. They've been helped out, though, because Cubs pitching has allowed nearly 5 walks per game, third most in baseball. So that's part of the issue. But the thing that I look at, and I talked about this earlier, so the Cubs clearly are putting men on base, and they're putting men in scoring position. So the fact that you have those opportunities and you're not coming through tells me that you need a little bit of a better approach. Instead of trying to go for the big home run, maybe put yourself in a position where you bring the run in by good situational hitting. And I think that's something Chili Davis is working with these guys on, the new hitting coach. But what I can't get an answer to, and it's different with every team because no one really knows, but when you're learning a new philosophy and you're working with a new hitting coach, you know, maybe it takes a little bit of time for that to settle in, where you know what you're being taught, but then once you're in that situation to actually go about doing what you're being taught, not reverting back to the things that you might have been doing before, say, Chili Davis became the hitting coach.
Yeah, I keep wondering with Ian Happ, and it's a hypothesis I have, that there are 3 positions in baseball that are different than the rest. And to me, that's closer, the 8 hitter in the National League, and leadoff. That there's a different mindset that where it's hard to quantify why those jobs are different, but when players get into them, it just feels different if you're not used to doing it every day. And I always wonder, when we saw Kyle Schwarber struggle last year and watching Ian Happ struggle right now, if that plays a role in why they're struggling.
It's part of it, but again, he's not the only one who's been struggling. I think you have a whole bunch of players. You mentioned the 2 that really aren't struggling of late, and that would be Chris Bryan and Javi Baez. Everyone else has essentially struggled. That includes Rizzo. Before he got put on the DL with the bad back, he was hitting just 107 and had been hitless in the 2 previous games before the announcement was made that his back was bothering him. He was 0-for-8 in those games. So I just think that that's part of the issue. The thing that you look at, though, with Happ is – this guy could not have played any better. I was out in Arizona for a lot of spring training. You could not have done a better job. And I know you can say, spring training, it doesn't count. But that's what you have to go on, at least initially. So he was feeling good. You know, he had a terrific season last year in his first year in the big leagues. So, you know, and it's so early in the year that I'm not giving up on him. But part of the issue is the only other guy that you would use in that spot has been kind of dealing with an illness over the last few days, and that would be Albert Almora Jr. You know, maybe one of the unintended consequences of having all these unexpected days off is the fact that Almora gets to get himself right, that Anthony Rizzo's back is right, and he hasn't missed a whole ton of games because of it. You know, Ben Zobris, who was a late scratch yesterday with a back injury of his own, has an opportunity to heal because of all this stuff. But I think maybe if you would use Almora in certain situations, which I'm sure Joe Maddon is thinking of, you know, part of the problem is when you can't use him because he's sick, you know, it puts Happ in a situation where, you know, he's losing his confidence at the plate and all that kind of stuff. So I just think the other issue is, and this is something that occurs throughout most of Major League Baseball, because so many teams carry extra relievers now, especially during this part of the year where you have most teams carrying 7 or 8 relievers, it doesn't give you a lot of options in terms of position players. So there's very little maneuverability that you've got if a guy goes into a slump. And unfortunately for the Cubs, you have a whole bunch of them, and you look around the outfield, that's a major problem because none of those guys has really distinguished themselves in the early going of this season.
The rotation hasn't quite clicked yet either. There haven't been a lot of good starts from them. I'd say about half of the starts have been good. The number that jumped out to me, and I saw Sahadev Sharma write this in The Athletic, that Tyler Chatwood's walk rate is like 19%. And you brought up the walk total. He's a big part of that. What's been going on with Chatwood, and how do the Cubs think they can combat some of those issues with command?
Now, part of it is also you got to remember that when we've seen Chatwood, it's been in difficult situations. So he had that cold game in Cincinnati. Remember, it was a 1-0 loss. He took it. And that was so I thought it was very difficult to get command of the baseball in those conditions. Yesterday, I know it wasn't wet outside, but it was really cold. So, again, he had difficulty with his command. So he had a lot of strikeouts. Strikeout numbers are high, but so are the walks. I think he had 7 walks and 7 strikeouts. That's a problem because when you're throwing that many pitches with strikeouts and walks, you're not going to go deep into games. And then it taxes your bullpen. It gives the opponent an extra opportunity. So I just think that the weather has something to do with it because you can't be as crisp. You don't have as good of a feel on the baseball, and it prevents you from being able to make the ball spin exactly the way you would like. So I think that's part of the problem that Chatwood is dealing with.
I got to tell you, Zach, I figured, you know, you moved over from covering football to baseball. We could get you some baseball weather. I mean, it has been October, November Bears weather for you starting out with the Cubs.
Yeah, it's. I will tell you, and this made me laugh. So the other day, that Saturday game, you know, the game that the Cubs rallied by scoring 9 times in the 8th inning, and they rallied from 8 down and won 14-10. Just an unbelievable performance by the Cubs, an all-time classic type of game. And in the middle of that game, remember, Cubs are down by 8. I'm doing the play-by-play in the 5th inning. And at one point, Pat Hughes asked me during the broadcast, you know, what's the coldest game you've ever been in? And I started chuckling because I asked him, how much time do you have? I mean, we can go on and on and on. And then I had a football player, an ex-Bear, text me during the broadcast, please don't compare this to football weather because you know what real football weather is like, and that's not real football weather. And, yes, it's not as cold as it was the day, say, Mike Ditka had his jersey retired. And it was that was a really cold night. Remember, Josh McCown had a game for the ages, as good of a performance quarterbacking the Bears as anyone has ever had with that franchise. And you thought at the time, this was 2013, I believe, you thought at the time, man, they're going all the way to the playoffs in Mark Trestman's first year. And remember, the next week, for whatever reason, they went back to Jay Cutler. They beat Cleveland, and you're thinking, man, they're in the driver's seat. And then, of course, they got blown out in Philadelphia and lost that unbelievable game to the Packers at Soldier Field. And, you know, that was as close as they've been to making the playoffs during this drought that they're currently in. But, yeah, that's real football weather. And then there are all those primetime games against Green Bay, you know, where you're talking about, you know, something below after the wind chill.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, it was really cold.
When I think of terrible weather, I mean, look, I'm not, I think that Saturday qualified as football weather when you're talking about rain and sleet and it being, you know, 24 mile per hour winds and the wind chill being in the high low 20s. That compares. I mean, it's not the extreme. Like, I always think about when I think of bad weather in the Bears, that Patriots game that they played at Soldier Field where you're sitting there going, oh, this is a game where they're going to run, and then Tom Brady threw for, like, 1,700 yards, and I think they scored 55 points or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was an ugly game, yes, in snow. And, yes, but we know what real bad football weather is like. So I do agree that the weather's been ugly. I don't know that necessarily it's football weather that we've been through the last few days, but it's not baseball weather. And that's part of the problem that you have when I know they have the ability now to have a little bit more flexibility because they have those four extra days that they can play with now over the course of the Major League Baseball season. But part of the problem that you have is if the team comes into your city and it's their last trip to the ballpark, well, every effort, for example, with the Braves, every effort is going to be made to try and play that game because then you have to find mutual off days. They found one on May 14th, so the Cubs and Braves are going to be able to play at Wrigley Field, but it's really difficult to find those mutual off days with opponents that only visit your stadium once. It's a lot easier to do it, say, when the Cardinals or Pirates are in town because you play them so often within the framework of your division. But, yeah, I mean, it's to me, if you have to wear, and I explained to Pat, you know those ski masks that you see the players now wearing?
Uh-huh, where you can only see Chris Bryant's eyes? Yes.
Right, exactly. Paul, he asked me what that's called, and from football I know because I did the research on this. It's called a balaclava. You see the umpires wearing it too, and it's essentially a ski mask, and that little oval that leaves your eyes free, and the kind of the bridge of your nose and everything else is essentially covered. And it stems from the village of Balaclava in the Crimea, and in the 19th century, during the Crimean War, British troops were having difficulty with the cold, so they kind of figured, hey, you know what, we got to knit something together here. And they came up with these hats that also ended up covering your face, and hence the name balaclava. Yes, you listen to a Cubs game, you will learn everything you need to know about staying warm in these temperatures.
I'm excited for tomorrow, the mutual makeup day between the Cubs and the Cardinals. We will have the game for you, starting with Zach's pregame at 12:45 tomorrow. Zach, I appreciate it. You still having fun?
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, check out the forecast. The Cubs, after that game tomorrow against the Cardinals, they head to Denver to play the Colorado Rockies, and following that, they go to Cleveland for the first time since winning the World Series. Check out the forecast for those two cities.
Oh, that's going to be brutal. Zach, as always, I appreciate you jumping on. Thanks for the information.
Always. Take care.
That's Zach Zabeman. That's the type of nugget that you get from a Zach Zabeman on a Cubs pre and post and during the broadcast. That's outstanding. I know you learned something from that. You want to talk Cubs baseball with me? 312-644-6767. Back after this on The Score. Thanks to Julie DeCaro for her scoreboard update. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We're here with you until 10 o'clock. Luke Stuckmeyer of NBC Sports Chicago will join me at 7 o'clock. So let's talk a little bit about the Cubs. And like I said, you know, during our interview with Zach, if you want to jump in and talk about the team, it's strange. I don't know that I can remember a season starting off this strangely. We're even talking about the Cubs seems laborious. You have last night's game. I'm sitting down there. I'm in the basement. Last night was a good night because you knew that both teams were going to play, even though the conditions weren't ideal for Cubs baseball last night. I knew that both teams were going to play. So I plunked down on the couch. I didn't have anything to do last night. It wasn't like, you know, dinner plans or anything like that. So this is great. I'm going to enjoy some baseball. And I did not enjoy the baseball last night. Not because the Cubs lost. I don't care about that. But just because the baseball that's been played in Chicago has been clunky. And I think that it has been clunky. And I know there are people that are already shooting in texts and tweets. Oh, doesn't the other team play in the same way? Yes. And the games have been bad. That game on Saturday was enjoyable for the camp of it. It was enjoyable because it ended up being a spectacle, not because it was well-played baseball. And yes, the Cubs are not playing as well as we all imagine that they can. But this is why on Friday's show, I was talking about how we have to be careful when discussing early season baseball, and that it doesn't mean that we shouldn't put too much weight into what early season games mean until we at least get to Memorial Day. Eli puts on the screen for me, and he's right. 25 of 269 Major League Baseball games have been postponed. 20% of them have been Cubs games.
The 25 games, by the way, it ties a record with 2007 in April. There was this thing too. So you had games starting in March because they wanted to have more built-in off days. Luckily, the Cubs have an off day that they can make up one of the games with Atlanta. They've got the off day tomorrow that's shared with the Cardinals, so they can play tomorrow because the weather's supposed to be a little bit better. And I do think that because they're on what I said to Mac and Parkins yesterday, and they're on an NHL or NBA schedule, that it changes the way that we react to it. That there isn't some game that we can now have to let us not talk about what happened last night. I was listening to Mully and Hanley this morning because I was on my way over to Wrigley Field today. There was a chance that I ended up doing Cubs pre and post today. And I'm sitting there going, it's just odd. Like, you just knew that the game was going to get canceled. The weather forecast wasn't right to play baseball in. And I'm not sure when we're going to see better days. You know, Alicia Roman, when she was on the show a couple days ago, said that tonight, at least for Chicago, is like the last like bad night for a while. That we're going to see the temperatures rise over the next 2 weeks, even if it's just a gradual rising of temperature. So that gives me a little bit of hope. It just hasn't felt like baseball season has really begun in Chicago. That's how it's felt to me. They were all still kind of waiting for the season to begin. The baseball's been atrocious. It's the combination of early season baseball along with terrible conditions. And I don't think that it's been the best scenario for the Cubs to start the season. I understand the frustration of, well, they're not the only ones who are playing in the conditions. I get that. But how many times do you have to see that this is a team that seems to play better when the weather is nice? The 2016 start aside, they seem to play better in warmer weather. I don't know why. Maybe some guys are more affected by it than others. Maybe some guys are more concerned with dealing with it than others. But you see those guys. You all used to make fun of Jorge Soler. Will he be out there with the mask on and all covered up? Every Cub is out there covered up. No one wants to play in that. No one. I don't begrudge them that. No one likes playing in those kinds of conditions. The only saving grace of what happened on Saturday was that the Cubs came back and won the game. And that's where you get into the conversation of, do you play? Do you start the season later? Do you take away games? I don't know what the solution is. There's a lot that I guess that you could talk about once we get back into collective bargaining. But even last night, and Lynn and JD were on top of it. How many balls in play were there last night early on? Not a lot. Tyler Chatwood was either striking people out or walking them. But that's the type of baseball that's played overall now. It's about strikeouts and home runs. The ball isn't in play as much anymore. And as you're watching it, that makes it even harder for there to be a rhythm to it. Hi, Adam, you're on The Score.
Hey, what's up? I couldn't agree with you more with all this talk about the weather, which I hate more than anyone, but it's so relevant. Because even a little kid knows when you can't play or do what you want to do, when you go out there to Little League practice, you know, and it's still a little cold and the bat sneezes your hands, or you know, you can't get warm or do what you want to do. It's the same with these guys. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, God, this is not, you can't even really comment on it legitimately.
Yeah, it's rough. And again, here's a text that says the NFL frequently plays in sub-zero temperatures. they don't frequently play in sub-zero temperatures. They frequently play in below freezing temperatures. But it's also a different game. But we appreciate the text. Put a roof on Wrigley. Problem solved. Okay. You want that coming out of your tax money? Because I don't want it coming out of mine. I will say, though, the Minnesota thing, it's stupid that Target Field doesn't have a roof. It's just stupid. You built a ballpark in a place where you know it snows until July, and you didn't put a roof on it. If you like it, then you should have put a roof on it. All right, look, we're going to take a break. When we come back, oh, wait, we can't take a break yet. You know why, Eli? Because this segment is being brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? With Indeed.com, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on qualified candidates in an online dashboard. Get started at Indeed.com/hire. Back after this on The Score. Very well done. I'm sure Eli was on the Coachella website this weekend watching Beyonce perform for 2 hours. 2 hour performance at Coachella. People drugged out their mind. You ever gone to a music festival, Eli?
Lollapalooza.
Okay, that makes sense. Because you live here.
Yeah.
How many times?
Twice.
And your experience?
It was good.
Who did you go to see?
Arctic Monkeys, that's my jam. I know Herb hates indie rock, so that's a no-go. But and I also saw Eminem.
Okay, that's fair. You've never traveled to go, or you didn't go? What's the one where everyone's like, not
Bonnaroo?
No, the one here where everyone's like...
Pitchfork?
No, there's another one. It's specific. Is it the Daisy something? The one where all the kids are completely high on Molly. That one. Where they're all like in colors and see, I figure Eli might be trolling around that thing.
No. Lake Shake?
No, the Lake Shake is the country thing.
Same thing.
That's a different thing.
Spring Awakening.
That's it.
I hate EDM.
What's wrong with EDM?
It's too, I don't know. I like my rock, my indie rock. That's my jam. Sometimes rap, but EDM, no.
It's rap.
I'm just saying. I mean, Kendrick Lamar just won a Pulitzer for his album, Damn. But yeah, with Spring Awakening, man, you see these children. They're just out there, just like, yep, it's about that time. I actually remember, it may not have been your class, Eli, but there was one of my classes at DePaul where one of the students had said to me, Professor Holmes, look, I have been at Spring Awakening all weekend, and I am not all the way here. I'm like, I can tell. I can tell that you're not all the way here.
Well, my mom used to say, if you cannot hoot with the owls, then you can't soar with the eagles.
Okay, so you got it. I mean, if you're going to work hard, play hard, is that basically what it means?
I think I said that backwards, but yes.
It's fine. It does. It works either way. I've never really been a big, I don't like crowds. Like honestly, like I don't touch me. Like I don't, especially at Lollapalooza where everyone's there and it's hot. And
you want to get touched, go to buy the EDM stage at Lollapalooza.
That's what I'm saying. Like the Spring Awakening thing. I mean, this is part of the reason I'm talking about these children that are high on Molly. They are having a good time. Good for them. That's the way that it should be. I like the secret concert. I like the you go see a band in an intimate setting if possible. That's fun.
Like one time, there was a radio station back when I was a kid doing a secret concert where you don't know who the band is and you just show up and then they, you know, this is this band. It was one of the bands I liked, Third Eye Blind, but the opener was Smash Mouth. I was like, man, That's the rolling the dice right there.
Hey, well.
And I was at the Aragon, which is trash.
Hey, now you're an all-star. Wait, is that them?
Yeah, it is.
Get your game on. Go play.
After shows for Lollapalooza, those kind of secret shows, I love those.
There you go. I went and saw my brother and I. It's not a small venue, but it felt like it. We went to go see Digable Planets at the Metro last year. That was a good-ass concert. Ladybug Mecca, man. So underrated as an MC. She is amazing. Anyway. So we can't look forward to festival season coming up and you being like sprawled out on a lawn somewhere, Eli?
Not my game plan.
Okay. I mean, look, everyone's got to do their own thing. If you don't want to commit to doing stuff like that for the show, I mean.
Yeah, we need somebody to do it, Eli, because we're not. We're too old to do it.
If I go to Pitchfork, which I might, then I'll keep you posted.
All right, we want a review if you go to Pitchfork. A review. And not like other music. Like, I don't care about the music. I want to know what's going on in the scene.
It's a weird thing to go to a thing. Like, Tribe Called Quest was at, like, Pitchfork, I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago. I was like, I like Tribe, but I don't want to pay $75 to see Tribe and then every other band that I don't care about. That's what – I don't understand the kids and their taste.
Yeah, but think about it now. And then Fife died. And yeah. Now you can never go see Tribe.
But – I met Fife.
That's here, true. You actually have Fife's phone number.
Yes.
So it's so funny because Shake, who's going to be on the show a little bit later on, I was telling her that because her last name's Taylor, her number is right below Fife Dog's number in my phone. And I'm not deleting that. I didn't delete Bernie Mac's number, and I'm not deleting Fife's number. Not doing that. All right. Displains and Kevin. Hey, Kevin, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to chime in a couple points on the weather with regards to baseball. And I was wondering if you saw or heard Anthony Rizzo talking on ESPN 1000 about how basically none of the players enjoy playing in weather such as Saturday's game, and how he said he wishes the season was shorter and that they could maybe do something with like doubleheaders prior to off games to offset.
Games. I did, but it seemed like Anthony, from the way that he reacted when asked about that yesterday in the clubhouse, seemed to be talking out his ass. And that he basically admitted that when he was asked about it, that's just a thing that him and Cap do. And I want Anthony Rizzo to take that next step in his public persona where he isn't uncomfortable standing by what he says. Because it seems like he's uncomfortable in that space, and he kind of made a flippant remark of, you know, I only play first base and I need to stay in my lane, that sort of thing. And if you have something to say, I think that you have earned the right at this point. From a professional standpoint, first of all, it's your right anyway. But even if there are people like you shouldn't say anything because you're an athlete, he's accomplished enough where it shouldn't be as big of a problem as I feel like he thinks it is.
I read that backtrack as somebody from Major League Players Association said, hey, man,
don't be taking away our money. And you know who it might have been. It might have been Bryant.
Oh, yeah. Because Anthony's grandfathered in. Bryant's like, hey, man.
Hey, because Chris Bryant, you're going to be hearing a lot from Chris Bryant over the next couple years as this new CBA comes up. He got screwed by the system, and he's not playing. He's not playing. And I appreciate that about him. Looking at the text, people saying that the Metro is the best place to see a band. I don't go to concerts a lot, but I had a good time. We were right there on the floor. This text says, hello, I'm Holmes, and I hate females on Molly. I don't know what made you think that. Also, they're children on Molly, but and I'm married. But so, you know, it's all good, and you should probably be careful when it comes to people being inebriated and then what you do with them. But, you know, by all means, can continue your criminal life.
Yeah, Cosby.
That's right. You see how you get down. Soon, Hannibal Buress will have jokes about you. Yeah. When we come back, Luke Stuckmeyer is going to join me. He is here in studio. We'll talk about his show, The Rush, that he does with Sierra Santos over at NBC Sports Chicago. We'll ask him about how this season has started off and the lack of rhythm to it. I'm sure there'll be some sort of like high school football thing going on because he went to one of those, you know, 7A powerhouses that don't play with the big boys, like that sort of thing. We'll do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.